Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 42 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. I'm really excited about today's episode. Today we have three countries, if you count me in the USA. We have three countries coming together. We've got Adam Douglas from Hockey Canada and also Steve Nightingale from English Ice Hockey. You may recognize Steve. He recently submitted an article about energy system development for us. It's a great article. We're going to be talking to Adam and Steve about the chapter that they're co-authoring for the Routledge Handbook of Strength and Conditioning. They're going to be co-authoring the chapter on ice hockey. So we'll get to those guys in just a second. If you're unfamiliar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, we currently have nearly 1,000 articles, videos, podcasts, programs, you name it. We've got the information on there. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can check us out for just a dollar for the first 7 days. You get access to all of our membership content, and so you'll have the whole site available to you for those 7 days. After that, we hope you'll stick with us for the monthly price of $14.95 a month, or you can get 2 months free if you sign up for the year for just $149. So it's a great value. We're always updating. We're always adding things to the site, and we're going to keep the best hockey strength and conditioning information coming your way. Most recently on the site, Daryl Nelson posted an article on neck functional anatomy. We had a pretty good forum discussion about training of the neck for concussion prevention. That goes right along with the podcast interview with Ben Velasquez about getting proactive with concussions. Anthony Mirando also has the four pillars of hockey development. And Daryl Nelson also has a pin press video that he posted. So those are the most recent things. Tune in, check us out. Check back often because we're always updating our information. But that's enough about the site. You guys are here to hear from our guests. So let's get started with English Ice Hockey's Steve Nightingale and Hockey Canada's Adam Douglas. All right, hey everybody, welcome to episode 42 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Today we are making history. This is the very first time that we have two guests on the show, and not only two guests, but we're also representing three countries. I've got me here in the USA. Adam Douglas is with us from Hockey Canada. And Steve Nightingale is from English Ice Hockey. He's with us from across the pond. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Skype's a beautiful thing.
It certainly is. We can get three great minds together to talk about the sport we love and hopefully pass some information along the way.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, just a quick. I guess, history with you guys. Steve, you contacted us with some great information. You actually submitted an article for us, and it's up on the site right now. I'm talking about energy system development in hockey players and learning more about you. You're with English Ice Hockey, and you've partnered up with Adam to write the ice hockey chapter for a new book being produced in England, the Routledge Handbook of Strength and Conditioning, Sports-Specific Programming for High Performance. So we'll definitely get to that. But first, since we have countries represented here, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about your role in your respective countries and how you ended up in those roles. So, Steve, talk a little bit about your role with English Ice Hockey and how you ended up in that position.
Yeah, sure. So I've been head of strength and conditioning for English Ice Hockey for about 2 years now. It all kind of came about, I suppose, from it's all volunteer with us over at, in England, and it came about from me knocking on lots of doors and writing emails and saying, hey guys, can I get involved? So now what I do is I work with all of the junior national teams, so the England teams from under 11s all the way up to under 17s. Those guys have two or three training camps throughout the year. So I attend all the training camps and set up all the fitness testing, monitoring, collecting all the data, giving that data for the coaches. you know, hopefully we can help those guys make some objective decisions when they're, when it comes to their scouting, really.
Great. So you're, you and Adam are working with a little bit of a different age group. It blows my mind that this is a, you know, still a volunteer position. I understand that, you know, budgets are a thing, but, you know, you get the chance to work with the top players in the country, and that's pretty awesome. I guess the experience itself is the payment for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been involved myself playing hockey for 20 years, so it's something that I love doing and love being involved with it. A lot of people don't really realize that we even have hockey over here, but we've got a pretty good setup with four sort of pro and semi-pro men's league. So, you know, the setup's pretty good, and I was never really good enough as a player to be involved in the national program. So it's certainly a way to be involved in it.
Awesome. So, Adam, you and, well, actually, Steve contacted you about providing some information for this book chapter. So, Adam, go ahead and talk about your role with Hockey Canada and how you ended up in that role.
Sure. I kind of wear two hats for Hockey Canada. I oversee the strength and conditioning for both of our men's and women's high-performance programs, but the roles are fairly different. So on the women's side, my official title there is IST Lead Strength and Conditioning, and that means I manage and guide the strength and conditioning programs for our three women's teams, which is our under-18 team, our development team, and our senior women's national team. I took over that role. That's a relatively new role since Sochi. But before that, I was full hands-on with our kind of those three different levels, but mainly overseeing our senior group from post-Vancouver Olympics all the way up and including the Sochi Games. And that was tournaments, monitoring the players, sending them training programs, all of our training camps throughout the year, kind of running those and really being very hands-on with all of our girls. After Sochi, just needed to step away because of the big time commitment. And now with the women, I oversee more of the other strength coaches within our pool. So up here in Canada, we have about a pool of about 15 strength coaches that kind of fall under my Hockey Canada umbrella. Stretched across the country because our girls, you know, are in British Columbia, Alberta, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia. They're all over the country. You know, we've really worked hard to increase our strength and conditioning coach network to help our athletes, even if they can't be training under myself here in Toronto or one of the other strength coaches that's with them. So I do a lot more of leading the logistics behind it, setting up the camps with our women's group. We have a camp in May. That's kind of our preseason camp. We have a camp in August, which is more of an evaluation camp for our under-18s in our development, and then our senior fall festival for our older group in September. So I'll oversee those. I'll work with the strength coaches that are going to be with those teams in that role that I had, that I used to have from Vancouver to Sochi, making sure that they have everything they need to succeed, that, you know, we're following a consistent logical progression and our athletes are getting the best for our athletes on the women's side. On the men's side, I work with our under 20 program. My official title there is kind of a sport performance manager, but it encapsulates strength and conditioning and sport science. So we do our monitoring with those athletes in competition. So for our world junior team, when we all get together at the beginning of December, we'll work pretty intensive monitoring through pre-competition camp, getting the guys out of their CHL schedule and routine into our kind of more of our Hockey Canada high performance routines, and getting them ready for that tournament that happens end of December, beginning of January.
Yeah, that little tournament called the World Juniors, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that little one. You
know. great. So, you know, Adam, you have Olympic experience. Steve, you're about to have Worlds experience. You guys are, well, UK is hosting the Worlds here in a year or so. Is that 2017, Steve?
Yeah, 2017 in Belfast, in Ireland.
Awesome. So you guys are going to be on the world. So you'll both be on the world stage. Before we get into the book, I mean, I just think it's really interesting. Well, number one, you don't often have two you know, people who are two coaches who are leading their country's young athletes. So I guess I'm a little bit spoiled here in the, I guess in my understanding of how this youth training thing is going to work, because for those of you who don't know, Daryl Nelson is the co-owner of the site of hockeyandstrengthandconditioning.com. And right here in Michigan, we have the National Team Development Program, which Daryl is the head strength and conditioning coach for. So he has players year-round. They play a USHL schedule here, which is the top amateur hockey in the U.S. And so Daryl's working with the top 16 and 17-year-old players in the country, and he works with them year-round. In fact, it's almost opposite from you guys. So we have Daryl has them for 9 or 10 months out of the year. They go home for 2 months, and then they're back the following year. So he's taking those guys from – they come in as, I guess, young men and leave as full-on men. So talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges of having players who are you're basically kind of monitoring or coaching remotely, and how have you kind of tackled some of those challenges, and you know, what are you guys trying to do to improve? And I guess Adam, we'll start with you on this one.
Sure. So our group that's like Daryl's are the under 20 world junior group. I really only see those guys twice a year. We have a camp coming up here next week. We'll actually be down in Plymouth playing some exhibition games. But my role with those guys, and that role now is kind of like a check-in role and a chance to be someone they can bounce ideas off of, but trying to lay that foundation of sport performance. You know, these guys all have strength and conditioning coaches that they work with during their off-season. They're the top, you know, under 20 players who are just on that cusp of the NHL in Canada. And so it's just about kind of being a sounding board if they have questions about their programs or what they do. Really, I'm there to help them in their performance, help them understand what they need to do to make that next level, and show them that through the warm-ups that we do, the cool-downs that we do, the player monitoring and hydration that we do. Just start to really get them to really dial it in. And be a voice, a consistent voice from Hockey Canada for that. Once we get in competition, you know, it's about getting the guys ready for that tournament, that short-term tournament that's different than their 60 to 80 game season, where, you know, these guys now will get them after the first half of their season's over. A lot of them will have been playing huge minutes every night, you know, 3 games in 5 days, playing 25 plus minutes. A lot of that's about getting their body back to a level of consistent performance. You know, there's role acceptance amongst the team and within the coaches, but we're getting our guys recovered. You know, we might do a little strength maintenance, but more like getting them ready to play the most important 7 games from Hockey Canada's perspective at the end of the month, and educating them on proper recovery regeneration techniques and why we're using them and how we're doing it. So when they go back to their teams, or as they further their career in whatever league, you know, they can remember some of those things that we did with them when they were with us in the World Juniors. And on the women's side, that's our battle is how can we remotely help our athletes? You know, we provide programs to our younger girls, so our under 18 team, we have a set program that we give them that we don't, it's not mandatory for them to follow, but we ask them wherever they're training that they have the option to train off of it. It's a sound, you know, well balanced hockey program. Or if they're working with a strength coach, that the strength coach looks at it. If they don't want to follow it, you know, just that they're understanding what we're looking for in a training program. So as they make the training program for their athlete that they're with in the daily training environment, it closely mirrors the same training principles. But it, as we all know, there's many different ways to skin a cat, so it might not be the exact same. And that's the same with our NCAA girls, so more of that development. It's about just monitoring them, making sure they're doing a sound, fundamentally built strength and conditioning program all the way up to our seniors, where we're a little, I wouldn't say we're hands-on with the athlete, but we're in communication with their strength coaches. You know, we're treating those athletes as professionals and putting them in a professional environment where they're with somebody that's going to train them and have good control over their daily training environment, and then just checking in with them, making sure that they're getting everything they need to succeed on the world stage.
Nice. So how often do you end up being kind of the resource, the go-to for the girls and the guys? You know, I guess CHL teams would have, you know, at least somebody that they're working with. Everybody's going to have their private person. So do you end up being kind of, I don't know, I guess players would probably go to their immediate strength coaches first, and then maybe that comes up the chain to you if they have any more questions or whatever. So, you know, is that kind of how it ends up working?
Yeah, on the men's side, it's more reinforcing, I guess, all the right things in a team environment. You know, the CHL, some teams have strength coaches, some teams don't. Some teams' therapist is the therapist and strength coach. And really, it's about just teaching the guys what they should be doing when they're not with us in that camp setting. So very rarely do I talk to any of the CHL teams. It's about building those relationships with the athletes. Okay. You know, they're only going to really see me twice a year. So I just try to give them some information when we're with them. A few guys will contact me throughout the year, but, you know, very rarely do we try to make that big of an impact, especially in this August camp. You know, it's about laying out what we're going to be doing at the tournament. And then, you know, telling them why we're doing it and how it's going to help them.
Nice. And so, Steve, for you, I know you have – your athletes are quite a bit younger. So, number one, talk a little bit about the training needs for or I guess the training goals that you have for athletes that are that young and how you're implementing that across the country.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, listening to Adam there, I guess actually we're not hugely dissimilar – in so much as I will see our guys twice or a maximum of three times in the year. Yeah, some of the guys are a lot younger. So, you know, you're talking about guys at 12, 13, they don't have strength coaches or anything like that. A lot of the time in that younger age group, I mean, well, and through the whole way up, it's all about education. It's introducing them to different types of strength and conditioning. So when I actually have them at the camps, we will spend a lot of kind of sessions doing some education, kind of teaching them about stretching, teaching them about foam rolling, hydration, nutrition, all of these talks. And we give those talks to the parents as well, hoping that the parents kind of will take something from it. I also do a lot of talks to club coaches. So I've been involved in sort of in the UK, we have head coach seminars. So I've spoken at those to, again, try and get our message across to the club coaches and say, like, this is, you know, what we're trying to get the guys to be doing. As they start to move up in age groups, we start giving out programs. So I've got an under 14s, under 15s camp coming up in about a month from now. So we sent out a program to them 2 months ago. It's you know, a sort of pretty basic body weight strength training program with some conditioning stuff in there. Actually, because it's remotely, one of the ways that we manage that is I'll film every exercise, do sort of some regressions and some progressions if guys are struggling with them, and then we send that goes up into YouTube and we send that out to all the players and to their parents. So they get a program, but then a lot of these guys won't know what some of the exercises are. So then they can see the videos of these programs as well. And then I say the education just kind of continues all the way through. So I say we take it from a three-pronged attack, I guess, is educating the athletes, educating the parents, and educating the coaches. Because some of them, you know, in all honesty, they come to camps in some pretty interesting shapes, round quite often. So we, you know, it's about educating them and getting the buy-in from them. And really at the very tail end, you'll have guys that are working, you know, at some of the high level clubs, and they might have strength coaches. So, sometimes it's just as, you know, a quick chat. I get involved with a lot of the other strength coaches in the UK, and we chat about, you know, exercise and development for that age group as well. So,
Yeah, no, I know. I've got a player here currently who's heading over to play in the top league in England there, and he's been in contact. Give Sam Bell a shout out again here this time just to make sure we get him in. But he's been in contact, and you know, obviously, I think you guys have a growing hockey culture over there. You know, in our talks before, you mentioned that it is the biggest indoor sport in England now, so that's taken steps. So, you know, you guys have a lot of, you know, although hockey may not be in the top three sports over there, you have some major sporting culture and major sports science culture. Have you adopted anything, or has English ice hockey adopted anything from, say, soccer, football, or rugby?
You say about Sam. So he's working for Manchester this year. Great addition to their program, and I'm working with Coventry Blaze in that elite league, and then another buddy of mine, Danny Mowers, doing some great things in Sheffield. He's been at Sheffield for a whole year now, so they're probably most advanced, I would guess. And we, you know, a lot of us guys, we sort of chat and decide what can be done and what can't be done. And really, for me, the biggest thing, I guess, we've brought in sort of sports science is the monitoring. So this year, working with Coventry, I'm doing it remotely. So we're going to track their intensities of their workouts through heart rate. So we have a pretty good heart rate system which they're going to wear on their off ice sessions and their on ice sessions and in the games, so I can monitor their training loads there and then adjust their programming based on that. And then we have a pretty sort of a simple questionnaire. I know Devon talks quite a lot about the questionnaires and stuff that they use. So we've developed a sort of readiness to train online questionnaire that they use through Google, and that feeds into our monitoring system. So at club level, I would say, yeah, we're definitely adopting much more of a sports science approach. I would guess on a national team basis, probably not so much, just because we see the guys for, you know, two-day camps a year, so there isn't too much that we get in there at the minute with those guys.
Gotcha. Okay. So, guys, onto the book here. I know it's being produced in England. You guys are in charge of the ice hockey chapter. Again, it is a book of, you know, multiple chapters, multiple sports, each sport or each chapter having its own sport-specific information, and you guys are in charge of hockey. So, Steve, you ended up partnering with Adam here. Is that right? You reached out?
Yeah, absolutely. So a bit of background of the book. So it's being edited by strength coach and lecturer here, a guy called Anthony Turner. He was kind of commissioned to edit it, and he actually was my professor on my MSc course. So he reached out to me. We'd written some articles and stuff previously, and he reached out to me and said, look, do you want to write a chapter on ice hockey? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. And he said, we'd really like it to be dual authored. We want all the chapters to be dual authored. So is there anyone, you know, you can think of that you'd really like to get involved? And Adam was kind of the first guy I thought about. And, you know, luckily for me, he said yes. So, I reached out to him, and then we had a couple of months of back and forward writing and editing process.
Nice. So, Adam, what was your key contribution? I know you guys you sort of tag teamed it and took two different, I guess, viewpoints. So, Adam, what was your main contribution to the chapter?
My main contribution was more the practical delivery of programming. I left all the science and the background information to Steve and let him tackle kind of the background, the history, the information for the coaches. But the main, I would say, primary ask as authors was to provide sound fundamental programming that's grounded in the scientific literature that's out there, but make it a resource that coaches, athletes, and parents alike could pick up and easily follow. So, you know, we structured it around everything that an athlete would need to do, warm-ups, cool-downs, strength training, movement, linear lateral speed and agility, quickness, change of direction, cool downs, all of that, and energy system development is in there. And so it was actually a great exercise. We kind of tackled it separately, but it was actually pretty cathartic when you're forced to sit down and kind of write out your programming and take it from, you know, this presentation that you've done here, this presentation that you've done there. And I think Steve and I both tackled it head on, and we had to do a few edits to get it under our word limit. But we certainly got close enough with that. But it's really just a program that anyone could follow. It's not too far out there in any direction or in any end of the spectrum. It's just a nice, sound, fundamental program for a hockey athlete, knowing they're getting the most up-to-date research behind how to train like a hockey player, but also you know, current training progressions and themes within the chapter.
Nice. So, Adam, I want to stick with you here, and I want to challenge you with a little bit of a question here. So this is, I mean, we're talking about sport-specific programming. How much of the things that you just mentioned, warm-up, linear lateral movement, strength training, how much of that could you have written for the American football chapter, or the, I guess that probably wouldn't be in the book, but the soccer chapter or the rugby chapter? So how much of that would be different? What are the hockey big rocks that you know, you would emphasize more in this chapter than you would if you were writing this for, say, some other sport?
Yeah, you know, any sport or any sport any of our athletes are playing, you know, the big rocks are essentially, you want them to be fit, you want them to be strong, and you want them to move well. So within that, you know, I'm a big proponent of sprinting my hockey players. I know in the chapter it talks a little bit about the biomechanics and how sprinting and skating are different, but you know, I still believe in kind of sprinting our hockey players and teaching them how to move through hip flexion extension, as well as having some lateral movement mechanics and skills to get the adduction, abduction. And but really, to answer your question, it probably wouldn't be that different until we get to our energy system side, which, you know, the article that Steve posted on hockeystrengthandconditioning.com is a great summary of some of the stuff that's in there. That would be different, but one of the interesting kind of subsections within the chapter is what I use as skating simulations, and just trying to teach some postural, controlled postural movement to mimic the positions the athletes will be on the ice. And getting them to sit low, getting them to have kind of the hip stability to sit on one leg, but then having the strength and stability to be able to move off of that. You know, so often as athletes tire and fatigue on the ice, they lose posture is the first thing to go. So we really try to reinforce that as a separate section. And then for me personally, within my programming, we do that anytime we do a movement session, is we're going to do some element of skating simulations, and it's always progressive. Like any good program, it needs to be progressive in nature. And we've put our kind of our skating simulation progressions within the book, whether it's level one all the way through to level four. You know, it'll give people something to build on. You know, one of my big pet peeves when I see programs from other people or coaches or whatever is a lack of progression in any of their movement skills or any of their plyometric speed stuff. And so we and I really made sure that was in there. And that was a big point is, you know, you need to progress through these levels, and it doesn't matter if they're an NHL athlete or one of our Olympic gold medalists, will still, you know, progress them through their movement skills as it ebbs and flows throughout their season and year to year.
Nice. Okay, so, you know, it sounds like, Adam, you tackled the more, I guess, physical side, if we want to break it down to simplest terms. I guess you've tackled the physical side, and Steve, you're more in charge of the physiological side of things. So talk a little bit about what you found and what your contribution was there on the physiological side.
Yeah, so it's pretty much written at the start as a needs analysis, a kind of a performance analysis, I guess, and it's broken down into the physiological aspect, biomechanical aspect, and an injury analysis as well. So just, you know, looking at all the variables, and then obviously it goes on to sort of look at how we can address those I guess really the big thing for the physiological was looking at the movement patterns and how that relates to the energy systems. I think for me, I mean, like Adam said, I don't think there's anything groundbreaking in the book. I don't think there's anything hugely controversial, but where it is different from stuff that has probably come out previously, certainly, I mean, I wrote an article 3 or 4 years ago for Strength and Conditioning Journal, and that was very heavily on the strength side of it. And I think we really looked at the movement patterns, we looked at the energy demands of the sport, and really, really broke that down. There's been a couple of really good studies recently looking at how long and how intense the movements are in hockey, and then working different or finding different training methods to work those really. So a lot of guys you speak to, and I've spoken to guys who say, oh, you know, we don't do conditioning in the season because they get everything done on the ice. And it's really when you actually look at it, they really don't. And there's other sort of small areas that they can be working on that's really going to give them the edge.
Are you going to keep that a secret? Do we have to wait for the book?
We need to sell some copies. So,
all right. I like it. So, you know, and a lot of what you're talking about there is on the article is you included it in the article that's on the site. And, you know, basically we're talking about, you know, kind of where the pendulum is swung, and I guess where most of the evidence is pointing us now, and that is the importance of the aerobic system, you know, maybe being emphasized a little bit too much back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, and then kind of going away from it, and now we're sort of back, and obviously we're settling kind of in the middle. Is that sort of the take, where the aerobic system plays a major part, and then, you know, we've got training on each side of that, or I guess just on the closer to the power side.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the book we term it an alactic aerobic sport. So yeah, very much so. Kind of working on the basis that in training and in games, the guys will be working in a kind of 70 to 90, 92% of heart rate, and then really looking at what we can do in the conditioning side of things to work either end of those. So yeah, very much we talk about, you know, the kind of 65% to 70% heart rate and ways that can be done, and then towards the other end of the sort of the really high intensity stuff, because those areas don't really get addressed if you just leave conditioning in season to say, oh, well, we'll do it in training, or we'll do it on the ice. It doesn't really address all of those areas. So yeah, it's very much kind of the two extremes of the scale.
All right. So again, Steve, thanks so much. And Adam, thank you. We're talking about the Routledge Handbook of Strength and Conditioning, Sports-Specific Programming for High Performance. So Steve, excellent job with the teaser. I think, you know, it's hard to sell, and this is something that I experience on the private side of things. It's kind of hard to sell good sense and, you know, things that are just sound and solid. You know, there's nothing crazy, and from the sound of things, you know, it sounds like this is training that makes good sense. But Steve, with that little plug there, I think you might have sold a handful of copies just with that. So
that's good.
Well done.
Just on that note, I know, speaking to the editor, I believe they're probably about half the way through of getting all the chapters done. So I know you said about American football. I believe we actually have an American football section, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think Nick Winkelmann wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some pretty big names in the book, and I believe half of them are done. When it's published, each chapter is going to be available to buy as an ebook. So you don't have to actually buy the whole book. You can buy individual chapters.
Awesome. Yeah, well, definitely keep us informed. I know you're pretty active on the site, so definitely keep us informed on when that's coming out. I know I for sure am going to check it out. So, Adam, thank you also for joining us. I know things must be pretty crazy for you, but we appreciate you joining us as well.
No problem. Thank you very much. It's been great, and anytime you can get three different countries together to talk hockey, as I mentioned in the beginning, good things happen.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, and good luck to you, and keep doing good work with your countries, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon, hear from you soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 42 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to our guests, Steve Nightingale and Adam Douglas. They're doing great work with their countries, so hopefully they keep it up and improve the sport that we all love so much. Guys, if you could, please follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. We put a lot of great information on social media that does not make the site. We take a lot of pride in the information that we share, so check us out on Twitter. We're at joinus@hsc. And then on Facebook, we're Hockey Strength. So pretty easy to find. Check it out. We put some great information up there. That's all we got for today, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, be sure to train smart. Check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.